Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have a great guest. She has quite a story to tell. She's an author, but there's more to it. So I'm going to bring her on right away. Her name is Linnea. So, Linnea, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks.
Now, before we really get into my questions, Linnea, let's talk a little bit about who you are, because you've had quite a story, and then we'll talk about your books, okay?
Sounds good. Well, the story of my life should really have been in a novel itself. My mom was a school teacher. My dad was in the Navy. My mother had a massive stroke when I was 8 years old, and she died. And with her being a school teacher, she homeschooled me. When I was in second grade, I was reading on a fifth grade level, so she moved me to a private school to enhance my education. My father when my mother died, my grandmother hated my father, so she did not contact the Red Cross, you know, to contact him. And a year later, he came home on leave to find out his wife was dead, and her mother had custody of his only child. Well, they went to court. Naturally, my grandmother got custody because, you know, not having a stable home back in the 60s was a lot more prevalent then than it is now. And my grandmother was a self-professed black witch. I kid you not. I've seen her cast spells. I knew what she could do. And she told me after my father had taken her to court, she'd get him out of my life. Well, even at 9, I knew she could physically harm him, so I begged her not to. I watched her cast the spell, and I didn't see my father from 1966 until the year 2000. Long time. And anyway, in high school, I went to boarding school, which was a blessing, and I graduated in my junior year because quitting school was not an option for me. My mother had banged that in my head at an early age. And then I went on to become a manager in convenience stores and restaurants. Then at 35, I suffered the same stroke. My mother, both my grandmothers, and a first cousin, all of us female, suffered the same stroke. Only one survived, and that was me. After my stroke, 2 years later, I met my husband I'm married to now, David. I have lost 6 children, 5 miscarriages, 1 stillborn. Let me think. My stroke put me in a wheelchair, and before my stroke, I could sing. But after my stroke, one of my vocal cords was paralyzed, so I couldn't do that anymore. And my left hand is impaired slightly. I can't do minute things like playing the piano or typing. So 6 years ago, my husband dared me to write a poem. So I did, and he went on and on and on about how good it was. Of course, I thought he was biased. You're not going to tell your wife for writing stinks. And I posted it in a few of the online poetry forums, and the feedback was so positive. Here I sit 6 novels and 2 anthologies later, and I'll type with one hand. I'm a go-getter.
Yes, you are. That's good. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here with what you
Absolutely, want. Absolutely. Well, I figured, you know, when I was 35 and had my stroke, I was coming out of a bad marriage, and I was also a restaurant manager, not good for the stress, and I wanted to survive. I spent 7 months in the hospital. I died 5 times. They resuscitated me 5 times. And the doctor commented that I had such a will to survive. Well, I figured the first half of my life had been crappy. The second half has got to be better. So far, so good.
It's going to be better. It's already been better. I mean, think about it. You've written poetry. You've done some books. I mean, that's better. You know, so it's got to be better. Actually, you know, it's really quite great that you have managed to keep going and not given up, because a lot of people, I'm sure, would have go, I just can't do this, and I'm done, and would have been done.
But well, I attribute that to my mom, because she always told me if I wanted something, shoot for the stars, and that's what I'm doing. and I've got my foot in the door.
Now, the poem that you wrote that your husband liked, what was the title of it?
Oh, gosh. Sorry, I can't. A Visitation from Death, I believe, was the name of it. It was about the 6 children that I had lost.
And so while you were writing the poem, how did it feel? Because a lot of people, when they write poems, they feel a lot of different things when they're writing it. So how did you feel when you were writing that poem?
What I felt was I wanted to let others know how I felt at what I had lost. That's the only way I know how to describe it. I wasn't sad or anything. I was just determined to get it down on paper the best as I could to make others understand, you know, how I felt. But unfortunately, you know, life goes on. That's a part of life, and not a good part of life. But in time, you never forget. But in time, it eases. The pain's always there. I guess time makes it more acceptable. I don't know how to describe that.
Well, time does have a lot to do with the way people feel about things. Now, you have written a series of books. So let's talk about each book individually, because you've now finished the series. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, so let's talk about the first one of the series. What was the name of it?
Of Atlantis. That's the name of the series, book one of Atlantis.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about the book.
All right, book one starts out on the continent of Atlantis. We're following the last known king of Atlantis. His name is Archimedes. I know Archimedes is a Greek mathematician. But when I thought of the name, I must have remembered it from high school because it just popped in there, and it seemed like a good name, so I used it. But no, he has an unlimited source of superhuman power. His mother knows where it came from, but his father doesn't. The king before him, which made him fearful of his only son at times. And his father also has an advisor. His name is Yurik. And Yurik has the same superhuman powers that Archimedes does. Well, Yurik comes up with this idea. If he could harness the power of Archimedes, it would make him powerful enough, along with his powers, to become master of the universe. So because of their superpowers, they both survived the devastation. And Yurik chases Archimedes through history, with Archimedes taking on different identities through history, you know, standing up against Yurik. My books are history filled, believe me. My history is right, but the fun part was weaving the fantasy around the facts. Now, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in my first book, one of Archimedes' identities I made him was Third Dynasty, Ancient Egypt, under the Pharaoh Djoser. I made him Imhotep. Egyptology is like ancient. I mean, I'm like amateur ancient historian, I guess you could say. And Egyptology is something else that I'm really, really interested in. And the reason I chose those topics was because I feel what makes a good author is showing passion in your writing and making your reader not want to put the book down.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that's read them, I've achieved it. So that's why I write on history, because I love history.
Do you think there was really Atlantis, the lost city? Do you think it really existed?
Yes, it did.
And when you say it's so determined, why do you think that?
Why do I think that?
Mm-hmm.
I just know. I don't know if I was there. I had to be there because I believe in reincarnation, and I had a psychic tell me at one time I had lived 46 lives. My husband had lived 47. We are soulmates. And I always kid him saying, you know that one life that I wasn't with you, he was in Babylon chasing around the belly dancers. But no, it's like, you know, when I write, I mean, it's like something's leading me. I'm in a different world. I don't notice I'm typing with one hand. I'm not in this earth. I'm in another dimension, another realm or something.
So you think maybe they're being channeled through you?
Could be. I'm going to tell you something about my second book. What I wrote about the second book, Skull of Salvation, is about the Mayan Doomsday Prophecy and the Crystal Skulls of Beliefs. Well, of course, I bring aliens in it. My aliens I chose are from Orion's Belt, the constellation. And they came from a dying star, and they're called the Orion. And I just found out about a couple of weeks ago, this just blew me away. The pyramids of the Giza Plateau, they are in total trajectory of how Orion's Belt, the three stars, and the constellation are going to be on December 21st, 2012. I like to just totally lost it. Yes, I chose the Orion, but I wrote Skulls of Salvation 3 years ago. So there's something there helping me along.
It sounds like it. You know, everybody is concerned about 2012. And my entire life, my angels have told me 2010. And if people would start checking the calendars, they would find out that our calendar is a little off from what Mayan's calendars are. Ours is a little sooner, and things keep speeding up quicker. So I think it should be pretty interesting to see what's happening during 2010 all through 2015, 2017. So as you're writing the Skulls of Salvation and you bring in the crystal skulls and the ETs, do you think that as we get closer to, let's use your date, December 21st, 2012, that there will be more ETs showing themselves, more UFOs in the skies?
That's what I hope. Because I believe, you know, you go back to Atlantis, you're going to talk about the star seeds and the High Council of Atlantis, the Edgar Cayce, the Sleeping Prophet was supposedly guided by. And there were 13 of them. You think about it, there's also 13 crystal skulls. And these things are quartz crystal. I mean, these are the second hardest substance known to man. You are not going to make me believe that these people designed them things with bones and sticks and copper. I don't believe it. And what's so fascinating is the quartz crystal is what is used in the microchips in our computers today.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe there are form of ancient computers. I really do.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of things that we're going to be finding out as time gets closer and closer. And I do believe there'll be more UFO sightings and everything else. And from what I have been sent through bunches of emails and by the media, our president is supposed to be announcing right after Thanksgiving about the connections with UFOs that we really have, and there are more to come.
And oh, well, that be something.
The Catholic religion is also going to try to be an ambassador to the UFOs that are supposed to be coming in.
Well, even the Catholic Church, you go back to the 16th century, one of the popes then, his name was Pope Malachi, he wrote a book called Prophecies of the Popes. And right now, he prophesies that our next to the last pope will be Pope Benedict. And our next, we have one more. And you've got to remember, Pope Benedict's over the age of 80, 81, 82, something like that. And our next pope is supposed to be Pope Peter. Now, whatever's going to happen is supposed to happen under Pope Peter, according to this book. And I mean, even after I wrote the book, I went back and did research on my own because I was so interested in it. I was just fascinated. But now the Mayan calendar, it's a long calendar. It's over a span of 5,125 years. And they have each 1,000 years, you know, we start a new world. Well, four passed, we're in the fifth. The fifth ends on the winter equinox, December 21st, 2012. But they don't say that, you know, they don't specify that it's going to be devastation. They either say it's an awakening or devastation, which I think leaves it mostly up to us. And if it's an awakening, you think now there are more people in touch with their spirituality now than ever before. And why? December 21st, 2012. So if it is an awakening, it's already started happening.
Yeah, it is actually started a little while back, but more and more people will finally start to do their awakening, which I think is very important. The kids that are here today in this world and the kids that are yet to come, they're already enlightened, very much enlightened, and having a very tough time with the energy that we have because we're not as high up as they are. And it's kind of fascinating to see these children who kind of already have the knowing try to adjust themselves to us instead of us trying to listen to them. So you wrote 5 books in the series of Atlantis, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And the second book is called Skulls of Salvation.
Correct. That's been out about 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Okay. When is the third one due to come out?
Next year.
Okay. And do you have a title for that one already?
Yes, it's called The Chosen.
The Chosen? Do you want to give people a little quick review? You don't have to give your book away, but a little quick review about what it might be.
The Orion had a prophecy about an Avenger to help fight evil. And that's what that book's solely about, is The Chosen. And the fourth book is called Resurrection, Reunion, and the Ravage. And that's about more or less global warming, the earth, and that's all I can say. And the fifth one is called Labyrinth into Oblivion. And that's the end. But I introduced new characters and left an open ending in case readers wanted a book 6. I'm almost finished with my next novel. Now, this one's a little bit different. It's called Prey of the Scavenger. My scavenger is a serial killer that practices hoodoo. Weird. That's what my husband says. Okay, now after this one, I can't release the title because the title was a secret, but I can say it's going to be about Hitler's fictitious illegitimate grandson. And it's going to be sci-fi, that I can say.
Sounds pretty interesting. What prompted you to write a series, like 5 books? What prompted you to do that?
When I started writing the series, it was only supposed to be 1 book, but my mind wouldn't shut up. So when I finished, it was 5. That's all I can tell you.
That's kind of neat. You talk about, like, on your website. Well, here, let's think about give to people who are listening out your website, because they can order your books on it, too. So give that out to them, please.
All right. It's www.lanaislair, that's LanaisLair.com. And there's even a way to email me from there if you'd like.
Okay. The name that you have, Linnea, is that your real name? And if it is, does it mean something special? Or how were you given that name?
It's a pen name, not my real name.
And how did you come up with that name?
I stole it off of a TV series. I just heard the name and fell in love with it. Now, Lee is my mother's maiden name. I did that to honor her, but Linnea, I got it off the series Stargate SG-1. It was a show in the first or second season. That thing ran forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that name.
You talk about your books of Atlantis as a garden of darkness and all the collections of the things that go with the darkness. And then you ask that people travel through the darkness with the supernatural and spirit. And then you have a little comment, only if you dare. That's quite enticing, don't you think?
Yeah. Now, I can write any genre I want, like, okay, Atlantis is historical fantasy, Prey of the Scavenger is a crime drama. My next one's going to be sci-fi, so I'm pretty versatile. And as far as poetry, I can write any genre I choose. But being raised by a black witch, the occult, supernatural spirits, that's always been in my life. So I'm just comfortable in that genre. So. But I don't write blood and gore because I do not feel that's an art. Most of my poetry I write are like the Hollywood horror movies of the 30s and 40s, just scary.
Did you design the covers for your book?
Yes, I did.
They're pretty cool, especially the one that has the dude on it with the great body.
Yes, I did. I designed both covers. I didn't do them, but I told them what I wanted.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. That one says Cull of Atlantis, K-U-L-L of Atlantis.
No, that is another website, an artist or something. He's on my website and I'm on here, so.
Okay.
My publicist did that, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's all right. I just wanted to make sure. And then the Skulls of the Salvation, that's a pretty interesting book cover because it has, like, the pyramids on it with the skull on top of that. That's kind of interesting.
I thought that was really cool because I think Skulls of Salvation is pretty self-explanatory. And I wanted the Mayan temple and I wanted the crystal skull, so that's what he came up with.
You said that you're a history buff.
Very much so.
Okay, so as a history buff, what part of the history do you find probably the most fascinating?
Ancient history.
And why would that be?
I have no idea, I'll be honest with you. Now, like our history, we're too new. I have no... American history, I don't know that much of it. But you take me like to Babylon or old China, first or when the I Ching was written, or Stonehenge or the mounds in Ireland. Now, hey, you're on my turf now.
Do you think that history constantly repeats itself?
Somewhat, yes. But I also think, too, we are not told everything about our history. I believe that with a passion.
Why do you think that is?
Look around. Look at the Great Wall of China, Stonehenge, the mounds in Ireland, Machu Picchu, the Mayan temples, the temples and pyramids. You are not going to make me believe that ancient man may have done it, but they had help. That's like the Vasco Lines. You ain't going to make me believe that primitive Indians went out in 120-degree weather and made these lines out in the desert with no water to where you can't make out what they are unless you're an airplane. I mean, you know, it all makes sense. But if you look around and keep an open mind, and you can link all ancient history together, that's just like the galactic alignment of, you know, of the winter equinox of 2012, the Mayans are the best name for it, but there are so many more that make reference to the galactic alignment. But I think that's what really blew me away when I found out how many different civilizations in their history and lore made reference to the galactic alignment. Oh. And the galactic alignment that's going to occur, you can hear people say, well, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. The planets are going to align. No, it's not the planets aligning. It's the Milky Way, the Earth, and the Sun in total trajectory of each other. And this alignment only occurs every 25,800 years. I'd argue a scholar down over that. Because the research and proof I found of it is exactly the way the Mayans described. What's so fascinating is how they knew this so many years ago. Me and my husband always talk about it, and I always kid him and say, well, they had a good look at the stars because there wasn't no smog back then. Maybe they had a better way to read the stars or something. But no, I mean, if you look around and keep an open mind, you can connect history together. That's just like people going into the ocean saying, Well, we found another ancient building, another ancient civilization. Of course they did. This earth is 4.5 billion years old. Any history is under our feet. I could go out in my yard and probably dig a hole and find an Indian arrowhead. That's history. But you go under in the ocean, like in the sea of Japan, they've got this thing that looks man-made, these buildings, whatever, look man-made. That wasn't Atlantis. That was another civilization. They say Thera or Santorini in Greece. That's fine. The Minoans, they were very, very accomplished people. But it wasn't Atlantis. Plato himself said, Atlantis were beyond the Pillars of Hercules, which is the Straits of Gibraltar, putting it in the Atlantic Ocean. And I believe Atlantis was in the area of the Bahamas. I believe the Bahamas themselves, since they're so gorgeous, I believe they're remnants of Atlantis. Either the mountains, the hills, they're part of what was left.
Mm-hmm.
And right off the coast of Puerto Rico, there's a trench. It's called the Puerto Rican Trench. It's 1,100 miles long, 5 miles wide, 6 miles below sea level. Yes, they found Titanic, but that was only 2.5 miles below sea level. We're talking 6 miles, which we have not overcame yet. And I feel if they ever do, they go in that trench, they'll find remnants. They'll be like any other kind of archaeological dig. I don't think they're going to find the whole city intact, but I think they'll find remnants. I really do. That's like right off the coast of Cuba. They say that they have found, they've done some underwater sonar, ground sonar on the ocean floor. They have found buildings. And what you've got to remember, too, 75% of that sand is called beach sand, which means that area was above water at one time. And then there's the Bermuda Triangle in the same area, which I believe is just a vortex to a different dimension or something, because it was Einstein himself that said, for every known dimension, there's an innumerable amount of unknown dimensions. And I mean, you're talking about the smartest astrophysicist that ever lived. If he says it, okay, I believe it. No arguing there. And if ever Casey was so, if he was so full of hot air, in the United States, they have a place where they store, like, film and different files and stuff. It's a huge underground maze-like place that they store stuff in. In this place, they have stored over 1,000 of Edgar Casey's predictions. Now, if he was so full of hot air, why they store his predictions?
How do you know that there's a place like that?
I've seen it on TV. I've looked it up in our encyclopedia. It's even in there. Looked it up online. It's online. And I just looked up the name Edgar Casey when I was, doing research on Atlantis, and I found it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Edgar Casey was quite good. He's done a lot of predictions that are actually coming to fruition that people don't necessarily want to believe. One of his is the map that he drew while he was doing the channeling of the world, which is how it's supposed to be turning out. Then Michael Scallion drew a future map of the world, and it's almost identical to Casey's map. And
another thing Casey predicted was that in 1968, part of Atlantis would arise. And they found the Bimini Road in 1968, so I'm not going to argue. Me and him, we're in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Go ahead.
I'm trying to think how to put this. I believe he was the greatest psychic of all time, because he didn't finish school. And this man could go into these trances and tell people their ailments and stuff like that. He was great.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could have known him.
Now, do you do psychic predictions?
Uh-uh.
Do you know them?
I've only had one province. I'm not sure if you can call this a prediction or not. But before I went to boarding school, I dreamed about it. I dreamed about what the dormitory would look like. When I got to the dormitory, it was the exact same thing I dreamed. And that's the only time that's happened in my life. But I believe everybody has the ability because, as of today, only 15% of the brain is known. There's 85% unknown. That leaves a wide margin. And I believe people that are psychic or I believe they're in tune to a part of the brain that the rest of us aren't in tune to yet.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that what they're saying about the DNA being changed to, you know, make us a little bit better when it comes to 2012 is a possibility that our DNA is being changed as time goes on and it's speeding up the process of it as we speak?
No. There's only one thing about our DNA that really fascinates me. In a strand of DNA, there are thousands and thousands of chromosomes. Most of the chromosomes within a strand of DNA have been identified except for one. One chromosome. And one of the scientists who did this said the reason that it could not be identified is because it was not of this earth. That fascinates me now. Goes back to my belief of maybe not all the Atlanteans were hybrid, but some were. I believe that.
Do you think that some of the people, other than the ones who talk about Atlantean, are actually hybrids of another race from a different location in the
universe? Yes, I do.
Because a lot of people believe in the reptilian theory.
No, I don't believe that.
Okay,
I believe that our brethren, that's what I like to call them, I believe they're humanistic in a way, but I don't believe they're reptilian or anything like that. Couldn't you see a human walking around with an alligator tail or something? I mean, give me a break. I don't believe that. But as far as the High Council of Atlantis being 13 and the 13th crystal skulls, yes, I believe it. I believe the skulls are not of this earth. I believe they were brought here by the High Council of Atlantis, and I believe that when the time was right, that all the stuff that was stored in the skulls would be known to us. I really believe that. Another thing about Agent Edgar Casey, he also predicted that the Atlantean repository would be found in between the paws of the Sphinx. They did some ground sonar. There's the room. It's caved in, but there's the room. And they say they can't get to it because of safety tech. You can fix it to the 21st century, didn't it, Brooke? But he was right.
Edgar Casey predicts a lot of things that are still yet to come. And
true.
The Bible also does a lot of predictions. So do you think Edgar Casey's predictions and the Bible's predictions are somewhat kind of close to each other, or do you think they're like miles apart?
I think they're kind of close. Because, all right, the galactic alignment that's supposed to occur, okay, the Milky Way is the center of our universe. The center of our universe is also thought to be a black hole. The Mayans call this the dark rift. All right, because a black hole is so unstable, there's immense gravitational pull. We have a hole in our ozone layer. We are not protected. If a sunburst or gamma ray burst hit us, you might as well hang it up. One thing that really, really, really bothers me about the hole in the ozone layer is if there is immense gravitational pull from this thing, it's going to pull magma from the center of the Earth, putting it up into our atmosphere. That's raining back down on Earth as fire and brimstone. There you have your revelation. Yes, I believe it's Luke. Yes, I do. If you look at it, that I say yes.
When you were writing the five books that you wrote, and you were talking about being kind of pulled by each one, when you were writing them, what was the most fascinating place with that pool that you're talking about that
Egypt.
You were in?
Egypt. Egypt. I had been in Egypt a lot in my life. Egypt.
So in probably some of your reincarnations, Egypt was a very, very big thing for you.
And so was Atlantis. I believe that too.
A lot of people are somewhat related to Atlanteans. But a lot of people who think they are may not be, because I think there's other, just like you said, other cultures that have been here, but that's all they know, because the rest have not really been discussed or actually talked about as much as Atlantis. Why is Atlantis and Egypt the two most talked about topics when people talk?
The only thing I can say is maybe in their subconscious that they have lived there before, because if there wasn't reincarnation, you think about heaven, it would have to be a mighty crowded place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you talk about all the lives, the people that died since the dawn of mankind, it'd have to be a mighty, mighty crowded place if there wasn't reincarnation. And I do believe in that, because I had past life regression done just out of curiosity. And I know my last life. I was aboard the Titanic. I died on the Titanic. That was my last life. I'm also very obsessed with Titanic. And when I was 7, my mom bought me a double keyboard organ for Christmas. I'd never taken a music lesson, never seen a note. I sat down at that organ and I played "Nearer My God" to these. She like passed out. I wasn't but 7, but I did that. I remember that because she was just bored.
I'm sure that would be true. Do you think that a lot of people have a lot of different gifts and they just haven't either discovered them yet, or they may have discovered them but somehow it may have frightened them so they kind of shut it down? Do you think that goes on a lot?
A little bit of both, I would say. I would say that because, like I said, 85% of the brain is not known. So imagine if we had 100% capacity of our brains. Think of what we could might do. I mean, like telekinesis. Not even having to open our mouth to communicate. I believe that's possible. We just don't know how to harness it yet.
Well, part of, I think, of the 2012 phenomenon is to have people start to wake up and be able to use that part of their brain that has not, at least they're not aware of it being used. You know, a lot of people who are psychic use a lot of extra parts of their brain. And it's not that we know we're doing that. It's just that's natural for us, so that's what we do. And so with that, a lot of people think that we're all so smart and we have all these things. And the fact of the matter is, in my opinion, is that everybody has a great deal of psychic ability. That's whether they use it, trust it, or, you know, go with it or not. So under that kind of concept, do you think that that would be true, that a lot of people have psychic ability, they just need to awaken it?
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel. I think people could move objects with their minds, telekinesis, if they were, you know, into that part of their brain. I really should.
It's always fascinated me how we have this great big brain sitting on our head, and we use such a small portion of it. And I used to ask my angels all the time, what's the rest of our brain doing? And they would just laugh at me. You know, they thought it was funny that I was asking, you know, because I don't know if a lot of people ask that, but it made no sense to me why we have this huge brain, and yet we don't really use most of it. And that part of the awakening for 2012 is to be awakening your brain, basically, and combining it with all the other energies that's going to be going on so that all those things can be possible. Do you think that everyone is going to be able to do that, or do you think just the ones who are open enough to allow it will do that?
Well, I think everybody needs to have an open mind, and I feel like it's only going to be the ones that have the open mind. Because some people are so closed-minded, they don't think to themselves that there are things in this universe and world. Logic has no precedence there. I mean, you know, like the supernatural, the paranormal. It's true. I know it's true. I mean, I've never seen, you know, an entity, but I've felt them, I've smelled them, I've heard them. And I'm not scared of them. Because I know, I believe this to the day I die, that even though my mom died when I was 8, she's been with me all my life. And guided me in the right direction to get where I'm at now.
I think that's pretty much true, too. I think people need to remember that there is so much more that we're going to be learning from 2012 or 2010 to 2015 than the human brain has known for a long, long time. And I do believe that there's going to be a lot of people who don't make that process, that change, whether they choose to or for whatever reason they just don't go forward. I do believe that there will be some kind of devastation along with all the rest of the awakenings. And I do think in order to have the awakenings, we have to have some of the devastation, because when I look at people today and I watch them, how they stay in fear and they're so afraid that things aren't going to work and they worry about everything, and then guess what? That fear and that worry is created. So I think
you're absolutely right. I mean, it is so sad that it's probably going to take something cataclysmic to open some people's eyes. I mean, that is so sad.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's what it is going to take, because people, well, I'll put it this way. I have a saying that I tell people a lot, and I tell them, don't leave your head buried in the sand too long, because if you do, you will get your butt kicked really hard.
For real.
Seeing how that's something that's up. You know, so I think people really need to take their heads out of the sand and kind of embrace this new awakening that they're going to have, and then kind of be all they really can be without fighting it or thinking that they're going to be weird or strange or different than other people. I think it should be a coming together of everybody's mind at that point, from 2010 to 2015, 17. Lots of strange things going to be going on, but things have to happen in order to make people wake up and to allow this world to continue as a living, breathing planet. Because we're basically destroying a lot of it.
You know, maybe the reason everybody has a destiny. They just got to find it. And I think I found mine. And if it was my destiny, just like being a messenger with writing my books, you know, to help some people open their eyes, then say, well, yeah, I was a messenger. I have no problem with that.
No.
Because I have never, ever, ever been to school for writing. Never. Yet I could sit here, I could write you a poem in 20 minutes. I finished 6 novels in 3 years, one hand. There's got to be something helping me.
Mm-hmm. Which is
and
pretty
I'm
good.
Not,
okay.
I'm not afraid of it.
Good. Don't be afraid of it. Give out your website again and the name of your books that people can purchase.
Okay, the website is www.LanaisLair, that's LanaisLair.com. Go to the home page. You can get book 1 of Atlantis and book 2, Skulls of Salvation.
Now, do you do book signings and stuff, Linnea, or do you just have your website and your blog?
I just have my website and my blog right now. I'm
okay.
Learning. It's a learning experience.
Yes, it very much is. Are you going to go out and try to do book signings and let people know?
Yes, luckily, within the states.
The reason
being is because I'm in a wheelchair. In other countries, I'm not sure what they have to offer people that are handicapped, how to get in and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So my stepdaughter is going to do that part for me, I think.
That's kind of neat. That can be exciting for you.
Oh, yes. Very much so. Okay.
Go ahead.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's something special about me. What is it?
It's your openness and you're willing to allow it to come through.
You're good.
I'm supposed to be.
But no, I was very scared of that until a couple of years ago. When you started talking about awakenings, I'm like, uh-oh. Because I'm sure you've heard of a child born with a veil.
Mm-hmm.
I was.
Mm-hmm.
And my gift...
A lot of people are, but go ahead.
My gift is being intuitive. I can feel. And I'm just starting to develop that because I was scared of it. Because it's not good. You want to be friends with somebody, and then you got this voice inside of you.
Yes, but see, you need to listen to that voice, because down the road you'll find out that voice was right.
How true. Yeah, I learned with my second husband. I should have listened to it. But yeah.
You know, those voices, that intuitive voice of people, I call it the heart smart part. It's so, so good, but people really have a hard time listening to it, you know, mainly because their mind wants everything to be logical, and emotions and logic never go together.
You're correct.
So people will halt that experience several times over, and really, in reality, they shouldn't, because it's there to help them get through their life the way they're supposed to, not based upon what somebody else wants them to do, or a logic way of getting through life that doesn't work a lot.
That's right. And as far as 2012 goes, you're absolutely right. And I kind of believe the same thing that you do. That something something's going to happen of like biblical disaster. And it's going to, and those that are left, they're going to be the ones that open their eyes, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that, and I don't like it, but I feel it. There ain't nothing I can do.
Well, except
go with the flow.
There's all kinds of things out on the internet about what to expect for 2012. And I really don't think anybody really knows exactly what to expect of 2012. I know people see it. I get to see visions. I've seen them since I was a child. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's the way it has to be, because people's collective, you know, energies can change a lot of things, but it's getting that collective mind in the right place, in the right setting, in the right caring and knowing. And that's the part that's the hardest right now, because, like I said a little bit earlier, everybody's caught up with, oh, my God, am I going to have a job? Oh, my God, I don't have enough money. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And it's those oh, my Gods of fear that keep people kind of in that destructive mode and victim mode, and that really does have to change.
Yeah, and I believe also that people that think like that, they give off a negative energy, and that's the last thing we need right now. Not in the world the way it is right now. Mm-mm. And another reason I wrote my book is everybody, anybody deserves an escape. You take a family of four out to dinner to a movie, you can end up spending $75 easy. You buy a book, sit down and read it to your family. You're escaping, but it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at it like that, I mean, you know, people worried about not having enough money and all that. It's a cheap way to escape this crazy upside-down world we're in now.
The world is a crazy place right now, but it's also very amusing to me to watch how it's shifting and how it's changing. And I find it quite interesting to watch these new children who, like I said a little bit earlier, have a lot of knowledge, and yet the adults have this hard time trusting them or listening to them, instead they drug them. And I have a very hard time with that.
Well, they shouldn't, because it was foretold in several societies. And if anybody knows anything about history... Our history does not add up, not to the things that are left.
I think a lot of people are going to be quite surprised when they find out the total truth, because you're right. History does not add up. And we have been told many, many stories. And because we've been told the same stories over and over again, we tend to believe them. And then comes somebody around like yourself or like myself who's been a rebel and says, that's not really the way it is, but okay if that's how you have to make your life. You know, so there's going to be a lot of awakenings that happen. And it should all be quite interesting.
You know, that's like the Vatican. They did something that really, really made me mad. Back in the 14th century, I believe it was, Knights Templar, Prince Philip the Fair, he ordered all Knights Templars in France to be arrested, and they were tortured, and a bunch of them burned at the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, 700 years later, from the Vatican Library, they found a document that pardoned the Knights Templar. Oh, that made me mad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, to be a fly on the wall that can read.
Mm-hmm. We're going to find out, like I said, a lot of different history things that will be proven not to be true, that we have been told
exactly
from day one. You know, and I'm the type that always asks questions about, well, if Christopher Columbus discovered the earth, who brought the Indians here?
Isn't that the truth? I mean, they were here a long time before we were.
Of course. You know, but that's not kind of like what we're told, you know, things like that. So I have a problem with history in general. I think it was used as a way to get people to believe whatever they wanted us to believe. And I think it's all going to be unfolded as we go through 2010 to 2015, 17. So it should be very interesting. I'm actually looking forward to those times coming. And a lot of people are going doom and gloom, and I really don't think it's going to be doom and gloom. I think the world will come to an end as we know it, but it will be a much better world when it's all completed.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not afraid. Any open-minded person should not be afraid. They should want to grasp it, be curious. I mean, I'm not scared in the least. I'm curious. I want to know.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm curious because I've been told things since I was 6 years old, and it's like, okay, bring it on. I'm ready. Let's see it, you know. But like I said, I've been a rebel all my life, so I can do things like that. Our time is just about up, so could you give out your website and the name of your books again, please?
Yes, it's www.lanaislayer.com. Go to the home page and get of Atlantis Book 1 and Salvation Book 2.
And if you sign up for the mailing list, they get a couple free things, too.
They get a free chapter of Book 1, Book 2, and also a poem that I wrote about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Cool. Anyway, Linnea, it's been great having you on as a guest. You're quite amusing and quite interesting. And I wish you a lot of luck with your books, and the rest of them that are going to be coming out.
And thank you for having me, Nancy. It's been an honor.
You're very welcome. I'd like to thank you, all of the listeners. And I want to make a quick announcement for my Child's Miracle Mind, Inc., which is my 501c3. My project that I'm doing is called the School of Now. And to raise money for the School of Now, we are raffling off a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. If you go to childsmiraclemind.org. All of the information is on there. It is only $25 a ticket to win a bike that's about $18,000 value. So please help us out. Let us get this school going to help these kids out that are coming into the world, that are here now and coming into the world. So may God bless all of you. Have a great, great holiday, and we'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye now.